Good afternoon and welcome to Politics and the Pulpit here on your hometown station, KHTS 98.1 FM and AM 1220. I trust you all had a great Thanksgiving week with family and friends last Thursday, and I'm sure it took you all weekend to recover. Either way, I do hope you had a wonderful time spending around the table. Perhaps politics was discussed, perhaps even religion, but I just hope that you guys all left amicably and looking forward to seeing each other again this Christmas. So again, thanks for showing up today on the show. We do have a great show on tap for you this afternoon as we will welcome Santa Ana Police Department Chaplain Bob Keller, who represents In Pursuit Ministries. We'll talk to Chaplain Bob about all things law enforcement, the left attacks against law enforcement, and the state of the modern church, all in one fell swoop. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to address the Republican elephant in the proverbial room. You say, what is the Republican elephant in the proverbial room, Pastor Cook? I'm talking about today's, quote, landmark decision or landmark vote that happened in the Senate in order to codify gay marriage into federal law. Now, I understand this has got to go to the House again, and then ultimately it'll be signed into law by President Biden. Did I just say President Biden? Forgive me. I cannot believe I made that mistake. I meant to say the current incumbent. And then hopefully the Supreme Court will take this thing up and will basically deem it unconstitutional. But I am not surprised that the Democrats have voted to pass this bill. Not at all. In fact, I would be completely shocked if they did not get on board to vote for this bill. But I am a little surprised, but in reality, not really, that 12 Senate Republicans joined in this decision. And just to be fair, a few weeks back, we had about 47 House Republicans that also voted to move this bill into its current form in the Senate. So, hat tip to Right Scoop. If you ever get online, the Right Scoop is a great resource for conservatism. So hat tip to Right Scoop here. This is their article. It says, quote, "The Senate has now passed the horrible Respect for Marriage Act." By the way, isn't it amazing how they call these things the exact opposite of what they really are? But anyway, "The Senate has now passed the horrible Respect for Marriage Act that will codify," that means put it into law, "gay marriage." The bill passed by a vote of 61 to 36, with all 36 nay votes belonging to Republicans. So there were some Republicans that actually had a pair. So 61 to 36, the U.S. Senate passes the Respect for Marriage Act, repealing the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, and codifying federal recognition of states' same-sex and interracial marriages. 12 Republicans joined Democrats in voting yes. All the no votes were Republican senators. And then, Right Scoop, rightfully, probably along with a bunch of other conservative sites, puts out the names of the 12 Republicans who voted for this bill. You have, of course, Susan Collins, you've got Portman, you've got Tillis, Burr, Romney, Murkowski, Blunt, Capito, Loomis, Sullivan, Young, and Ernst. Well, all I can tell you is this. Essentially, the Defense of Marriage Act, signed into law by Democrat Bill Clinton in 1996, that states the non-recognition of same-sex marriage for all federal purposes is, once Biden signs this bill, will ultimately be dead. Completely dead. DOMA will be dead. Here is my problem. Number one, I believe the Democrats put something in this bill to give the Republicans who did vote for it, both in the Senate and in the House, cover. In other words, cover to go back to their constituents and say, hey, listen, I'm not voting against this because I'd be voting against interracial marriages. Seriously, who exactly is not going to recognize an interracial marriage? I mean, give me a stinking break, people. I mean, black people and white people, Asian people and Mexican people, people can marry who they want, cross interracially. Who cares? Nobody cares. That is so stupid. But because of a leaked draft from the Dobbs decision, the Democrats latched onto a little section there from Clarence Thomas, and they said, well, here is our great cover. We're going to put this into the Respect for Marriage bill, and we're going to use this as part of the passage of the bill, part of the rationale for passing the bill, and we'll allow this also to be good cover for our Republican friends so they can go back to their constituencies, many of whom are Christians who believe in traditional marriage, you know, like man and a woman. You know, the plumbing works. Civilization continues on because of that. And they'll be able to go back and say, hey, listen, I can't vote against this bill. I'd be voting against interracial marriage. I mean, come on. I'm like a stupid backwoods hillbilly, and I can totally see that. Why can't you? Some of you guys with your Stanford and Harvard and your Yale education, and you can't see that? So, here is my real problem. My real problem is this. Defining marriage by way of the culture instead of defining marriage by way of an absolute authority. I'm going to say that again. My real problem with this whole Respect for Marriage bill is defining marriage by way of the culture instead of defining marriage by way of an absolute authority. When marriage, or anything for that matter, this could be anything. It doesn't have to be just marriage, but marriage is what we're talking about today. When marriage, or anything for that matter, is defined by the ever-vacillating, ever-sliding scale of the culture, then where does it end? Think about that. Culture is much like the waves coming in and out from the ocean. They go in, they go out. They go in, they go out. Also, think about this. If conservatives are by definition conservative, then what, pray tell, are they conserving here? They sure aren't preserving and conserving marriage between one man and one woman. Now, I also need to make this clear. I'm not about telling gay people they can't go shopping, they can't have a union, they can't whatever. I just don't think they need to be federally recognized, that's all. In fact, I'll even argue and kind of dig down deep into my libertarian roots. Maybe there shouldn't be any federal recognition of marriage, period. And let's get the government completely out of that business. I want you to think about this. There's only one union on the planet that continues civilizations. And I'm going to ask you to guess what that union is. It's one man and one woman in holy matrimony joining themselves together. Why? Because the plumbing fits, people. That is the only union on the planet that promises perpetuity of the next generation. So I want you to think about this. So 30 years ago, both Democrats and Republicans affirmed traditional marriage and did not affirm same-sex marriage, at least on the federal level. 30 years later, both Democrats and Republicans affirm same-sex marriage. You say, well, not every Republican did. You're right, not every Republican did, but enough of them did. They should probably stop calling themselves conservative. So I need to ask yourself another question here. Have any of these senators, these 12 senators on the Senate side, and perhaps maybe the 47 in the House, have they ever asked themselves, what will the downstream effect be on society and other groups by virtue of this decision? Susan Collins, the pretend conservative from Maine, stood up today and said something like, in a shaky Katharine Hepburn-style voice, later years Katharine Hepburn-style voice, she stood up and said something like, we'll be proud, we'll be able to look back and be proud of this decision. Really? If we do not define marriage by an absolute standard, then we will continue to dumb down the definition until it becomes meaningless, like the left has use the word racism in the last 3 years. I mean, racism today is it. What did I You know what I read the other day? I read a CNN article, which was my first mistake. And I read a CNN article, and the person was making the argument that daylight savings time was actually racist against those in the minority who have a harder time getting up or a harder time getting to work. Look it up on Google it yourself, man. A CNN reporter was making the case that daylight savings time. Listen, I don't like daylight savings time. I don't like the fact that it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon right now in the wintertime. I'd much rather it be 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whenever it gets dark. But the fact is, she was making the argument that it's actually racist. Racism today, I don't even know what that word means anymore. It's stupid. It's lost its meaning. It's lost its reality. The same thing with marriage. It won't be long before that word and that institution is dumbed down so much that it's going to take on the barnacles of the culture that it will not have the same significance as it once did. Mark my words, within 20 years, you will be able to marry an animal. Oh, come on, Pastor Cook, you're stupid. 30 years ago, you didn't think this was going to happen. Here we are 30 years later, and it is happening. It's being affirmed even by those on the right, openly, you know, and being praised. And you say, well, it's not going to happen. Well, listen, they're already trying to normalize sexual relations with young kids. And you've seen the latest brouhaha with this Balenciaga. I don't even know how to pronounce that stupid clothing line. But I guess Kim Kardashian is part of it, and she was the one that just came out and said something about it. But, I mean, you all saw the write-ups about that. You saw the picture of the little kid holding up a teddy bear with BDSM, you know, what's that stupid movie that you guys watch and I don't because I'm not supposed to, I'm a Baptist preacher. What is that thing, Matt? The Gray movie? 50 Shades of Grey. I knew you were Italian. You watched it. So, yeah, 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, BDSM and all this kind of stuff. And then they got, you know, stuff on the table. And they're trying to normalize that, folks. And then I read something just the other day where a whistleblower has come out and is saying that the government is basically shifting kids and they're being sold into sex slaves in various countries. Now, again, I don't know if that's true. If that whistleblower is actually accurate, then that's sick. That means the United States government, the greatest government on the face of the earth, is complicit in doing that? And it's, by the way, with the current occupant in chief. So again, mark my words, within 20 years, you will be able to marry an animal. In fact, it might even be sooner. It won't be long before we actually might define marriage down even further. And more Republicans are going to peel off because they are not being guided by a absolute finished principle. They're being guided by culture, and they're allowing the shifting sands of culture and the vacillating opinions and emotions of culture to determine. Listen, when you get elected as a conservative, then you should be voting on principle, not on political calculation. If you get voted out of office because of principle, then you will be able to pillow your head at night and sleep easily. And I will have respect for you. But if you're voting based upon political calculation and trying to get a bill passed, because if you don't pass this, then this down the road won't get passed by your constituencies or whatever the case might be, and you're being played, then shame on you. Stop calling yourself a conservative Republican. Call yourself a Republican, but you're definitely not conservative because you're not conserving anything. After all, if there is no absolute standard for marriage, then you can continue to define it down to the basest elements of our society. And I promise you, the basest elements of society is what is running culture at the moment. And the basest elements of society, unless there's a check put in place, will continue to run the culture. And thanks to Republicans, in both the House and the Senate for not conserving the very heart of a civil society. Now, the other downstream effect of this is this. That was, is this twice. Yes, I said that. I caught it. What about religious liberty? What if this gets codified and the Supreme Court actually defends it and says, no, this is law. We're going to allow this to go. So I'm not talking about the deleterious effects of this bill 5 weeks from now or even 5 months from now. I'm talking maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road when some gay group is going to be able to use this bill and say to some Baptist minister or some Lutheran minister or some Catholic priest, hey, would you marry us? Now, I know the argument is going to be, well, there's already provisions in this bill to protect religious liberty, and we want to make sure that our religious community realizes that they will not have to be forced to marry a couple that their convictions would not allow them to marry. And they always like to throw out, you know, the issue of the baker that didn't want to bake a cake for a gay couple and things like that. Yeah, but that's in the past. We're fighting a new front. This is a new battle, and there's going to be new tactics going forward. And you know that the gay agenda is going to want more and more, and they want a bigger bite of the apple. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and unless conservatives stand up and, bless God, act to conserve something, then again, what is the purpose of you being in office? And I say this, of course, as a Christian conservative. The other thing that I'm noticing, and I'll get off of my rant here because we want to get Chaplain Bob Keller on here on the other side of the break. The other problem that I'm having here is, where is this going to lead societally? Yeah, I'm talking about society. Where is this going to lead? What is society going to look like 30, 40 years from now? I will say this. The whole gay thing does kind of work in the favor of those who do not like the expansion of the globe by way of people being born. Because obviously a gay couple can't have a kid biologically. I don't care what you left to say out there. It just can't happen. You and your virtue signaling out there about pregnant people. I mean, it's stupid, man. A woman has a baby. Period. End of story. Debate is closed. What's going to happen to society? I don't know. I feel bad for some of your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids that are going to have to be born. My great-grandkids, my grandkids that will have to be born and have to face a society that has been created now with the help of Republicans. What a shame. Well, that's the end of my rant right now, but on the other side of the break here on Politics in the Pulpit, we are going to be joined by Chaplain Bob Keller with In Pursuit Ministries, and his wife, Jane, I think, will also be coming on as well, and they'll be talking about their tenure with the Santa Ana Police Department and all things political, all things law enforcement. On the other side of the break, you're listening to Politics in the Pulpit here with your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and AM 1220. Catch you in a minute. All right, we're back live here on Politics in the Pulpit on your hometown station, AM 1220 and 98.1 FM. I am your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook, and we are back for this second segment, and we are welcoming on our call line Chaplain Bob Keller and his wife, Jane. Would you guys say hello out there?
Hello, this is Bob Keller. We're very happy to be on the program. Thank you for inviting us.
Jane, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Jane, I understand it was your birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was.
And did your hubby take you for a walk on the pier, as he told me he was going to do?
Yes, we did.
And what did you guys do afterwards, or can you say this on radio?
We can't say it on radio.
Oh, okay, all right. It's for more of our PG-13 audience, I get it. Well, you guys have been in the chaplaincy for a great many years, and of course our church, Freedom's Way Baptist Church, for those of you out there in radio land that know a little bit about us, we've been supporting the Kellers for the last 19 of our 20 years of existence, and they've kind of gone through a little bit of a change in terms of the name of their ministry, but it's called In Pursuit. Bob, why is it called In Pursuit Ministries?
Well, in actuality, it's called In Pursuit Ministries of California, because specifically we are in California. And the reason why we named it that is because we are in pursuit to reach those who are in pursuit, and that is law enforcement. People think that we're chaplains, and they think automatically that we're in, that we work in jails and that we work with inmates. That's not really true. We work specifically with those in law enforcement. And that's why we are in pursuit.
And your wife, of course, works right alongside with you. Jane, can you tell me a little bit about your experience in the last several years working alongside, or not necessarily alongside, your husband and some of the things you've seen out there?
Well, we go out on whatever we're called out to go on.
Domestic violence? Did I mention that?
Well, yeah, but recently we had a suicide call. We also had another death call. The person died later that night. But we were able to pray over the family and be there for them.
Sure.
Shortly before that person died. So, you know, we have a lot of different and varied experiences.
Yeah. Bob, talk a little bit about the suicide rates among officers. I remember you telling me years ago that the suicide rate was pretty high among those in law enforcement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we just heard about another one here in a local state from one of our chaplains that we were instrumental in getting involved in that kind of a ministry. And the statistics are about the same as they were years ago. About every 22 hours, an officer somewhere here in the United States takes his own life.
Hmm.
And, that's a tragic statistic. And I think the reason why it's so high is because of the stress that they are under. They feel often that their own particular police department doesn't really care about them. And they get discouraged and think, well, the only life I have left is law enforcement, and I can't do that anymore. And sometimes they take their own life. Yeah.
Now, how important is it to have a good Bible-believing chaplain for somebody like that to turn to, that they can talk to perhaps before they take their own life, and, or, if you will, talk them off of the ledge? Tell me a little bit about that, Bob. Have you had an opportunity where you've talked to somebody that was maybe about to just jump off the ledge, but then you were able to talk them away from it?
Yeah, a number of years ago I had that happen where an officer had called me up and said that he was thinking about taking his own life, and we got to him quick enough, and he eventually accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and was able to continue his career, and later on he retired. And so I don't think that man would be alive today if it hadn't been for our ministry as chaplains.
Well, amen to that. Now, Bob, how long have you guys been with the Santa Ana Police Department?
In January, it'll be 4 years that we have been with Santa Ana.
And who were you with prior to that?
We were with the Florida Police Department, and we were with them for about 16 years.
Wow. And that, of course, is when you guys were attending a church over in Laverne, I'm assuming. And then, when you guys started attending in Huntington Beach, it became more logical for you to kind of start to minister to those there in Santa Ana, which was basically your backyard.
Yeah. We are only about 15 or 20 minutes away from the current agency that we work with.
Yeah. Now, are you privy to what officers are saying about the left's attack on them and the whole defund the police talk, which, of course, got hushed before the midterms? But I've noticed recently here after the midterm election that the Democrats are starting to kind of ramp up that kind of rhetoric again. Are you privy to what officers have been saying about the left's attack against them?
Well, you know, we work with officers on a one-to-one basis. And, for example, we go out on checkpoints. We were on one last week, last Friday night, in fact. And often what we get a chance to talk with them individually. And through those conversations, we can lead that conversation over to how they feel. So mostly it's one-on-one basis.
Yeah. And what do they say? Have they been open about the attacks from the left concerning their work and what they do and law enforcement and things of that nature?
I mean, generally speaking, we don't really go there too much with them. Politics is not something that they really enjoy talking about.
I wonder why.
So
for the most part, police officers are Republicans, and they are normally conservative.
Yeah.
So any conversation that we have with them is going to be the kind of conversation I would have with you.
Yeah. So, Bob, you've been on many ride-alongs with police officers down through the years. Can you kind of walk the listener through a conventional ride-along with an officer?
Well, basically, we try to start with a shift. We start out with what would they call in Santa Ana, they call it a roll call. And before we go out and ride along, we often get a chance, I do specifically, get a chance to pray with them before they actually go out on patrol.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it really starts. And we pray for them. We pray, of course, for their safety and their protection, their well-being. Often I'll pray that God would bless them with truth. And then I always end my prayers in Jesus' name. The department really likes us to do that. So that's how a ride-along begins.
Yeah.
So it begins on the right foot. And then I'm with them sometimes their entire shift. I'm riding with them. And during that time, I get to know them, get to talk to them about the Lord and the Bible. And you know, we talk a lot because they expect that from me.
Sure.
I'm a chaplain. I'm a biblical chaplain. And so when we're in the car, in between calls, we get to talk about the Bible and you know, spiritual conversation. That's really tremendous. The opportunity is just wide open.
Yeah. That's
the best time to get to know them personally, too.
Sure. And you're one-on-one with that individual, and they're able to be real candid with you in those moments, right?
Yes, they are. And they are candid with me. I mean, I've had conversations where chaplain, how do you feel about, you know, homosexuality, and I told him, I said, well, it's not really what I think, it's what God thinks, it's what the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on with the entire conversation, which lasted for about 8 hours in between calls, and told him what the Bible said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, and is there a place people should go if they're interested in becoming chaplains? I mean, how does somebody become a chaplain?
Well, they can always go on our website, InPursuitMinistriesCA.com, and they can find out a lot about the chaplain ministry and what we do, and they'll find photographs up there and different situations that we've been involved in. I mean, what are some of the questions that you ask an officer as you're riding with them for, you know, 7 to 10 hours?
Yeah.
And so I have those questions on the website, and they can begin to ask those questions.
But I think also that they need to go to their local police department that is in their area.
In their area. They might be out of state, yes.
Yeah, and then they also, you know, need to just go in there and ask who they could talk to about becoming a chaplain, and then find out from there what the requirements are for that department individually, because they are different from department to departments.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I would assume it would be. Mm-hmm. And is there usually one or more chaplain per department? How does that work?
Well, when we were with Pomona for 16 years, Jane and I were the only chaplains.
And that is for how many police officers did you think?
Anywhere from 160 to 200 officers.
Oh, wow. So basically you were the pastor and pastorette of 200 people.
That's
right.
Where, you know.
Right.
And you know, you said those words right, because people ask us all the time, well, what is a chaplain? And the best way I know how to describe it is the fact that we're kind of like pastors, except for our congregation are those who wear the uniform.
Yeah. Your congregation are those that are in pursuit of those who are in pursuit.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, sir.
That's good, man. What a catchy thing.
Current situation is a little bit different in that we have a larger congregation, so to speak, you know.
Santa Ana, we have approximately 330 sworn officers. And that doesn't include the people that work inside the station.
Yeah.
That could be, I'm not sure exactly, but that could be probably at least 100 people more. And we converse with them as well. So
yeah.
We work both with those inside and those outside.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift gears real quick here before we come to the end of our shift here. And let's talk a little bit about the state of the modern church. This might sound a little odd for a chaplain to be addressing, but Bob, you've been, you're a graduate of Bob Jones University. I believe that was around 1970, if I'm not mistaken. You can correct me if you'd like. You've been around Christianity for a long time. And you've been, as you've said by your own admission, a chaplain for a great many years. So you've seen churches, the ins and outs and the ins workings of churches and pastors for over 50 years. What is your current assessment of the state of the modern church as of the 21st century here in 2022?
Well, back in the early 80s, I served with a church for in South Carolina. And I remember very specifically that our church was very much alive politically. And I really appreciated that. And that's where my roots come from. And I found that in the churches today, they're asleep when it comes to what's going on politically. I mean, Jane and I, working with law enforcement, we're involved in politics every time we go to that station.
Yeah.
Because we're working with the community. And I found that churches today are asleep when it comes to, you know, talking about the issues from the pulpit. And I think it's a sad case scenario of what the churches should be doing, and they are not.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a sad situation that you've got political issues happening that are actually not just political issues, but they're biblical issues that are happening in our society. One of the things, of course, is this this respect for marriage bill that was just passed by the Senate. Now it's going to go to the House. And why aren't pastors, you know, preaching about this and talking about this and naming the Republicans that are voting for this bill? And talking more about it. And, of course, the same thing could be said for Prop 1. Is that not true?
That's very true. And, you know, Prop 1, we didn't hear much about it. But we understand now that that's over with and Prop 1 has passed. We understand that even pastors even voted yes on Prop 1. And that's very alarming to me.
Yeah, I'd like to know who the pastors are. I'd love to have one of those guys call into the program here. I'd love to be able to talk to one of those pastors. If you're able to find one of those pastors, you know who they are, put me in contact with them. I'd love to have them on the show and be able to skin them alive.
And I think it's a lot of people were very uninformed. And in L.A. County, for instance, it was on the ballot, it was called Measure One.
Yeah.
It was not proposition. So I think it was a downplay of the severity of what's in that bill, and people on the other side, they just didn't know. You know, when I went to vote, I had two men, one on each side of me, and they were both standing there reading the whole thing as they went through it, because they were trying to understand what they were voting for, and they didn't know and hadn't studied ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people are just not informed.
Yeah. And do you think that that falls mainly, I mean, obviously you need to be an informed voter, period, right? I mean, as an individual Christian or an individual, period, you should just be personally informed. But then there is a secondary responsibility of the shepherd, the pastor of the church, to inform the sheep. And you're seeing a lack of that. Is that true?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And why do you think pastors today have been spiritually castrated from their dutiful responsibilities of just preaching truth?
They think the Johnson Amendment is still implemented, and not one pastor ever since that was passed has ever been, has ever, I'm not sure of the terminology, but has never been...
It's not been utilized against
them. It's never been utilized against any pastor.
Yeah.
And so they don't really know the truth. I know our former president, said that he would not prosecute anyone who might have gone against the Johnson Amendment. I don't know if you talked about that or not, but it's something that we don't have to be afraid of. I mean, we need to stand for truth, right and righteousness. And we're not doing that today in the pulpit.
I think there's some fear out there also about, all these IRS agents and what they're going to do and how that's going to affect.
And that's another subject that we could really talk a lot about.
Yeah.
Because
I don't want to talk about the IRS.
Yeah.
Because those are the men that are not qualified. They can't find qualified people even to fulfill those positions.
Yeah.
And I know that for a fact.
I have my doubts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I learned about that talking to police officers. And, we have friends who are investigators, where they look in the backgrounds of, bringing officers onto the team, and they can't find people who are qualified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So qualified people are hard to come by. As you know, there's people that are wanted to work all over the place. So
we understand how that works because we're talking to officers every day and, different people who are, commanders and captains and lieutenants, and it's just not the patrol officer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, in our last 2 to 3 minutes here, Bob and Jane, let's talk a little bit about some of the pastors out there that you think are doing what they need to be doing. I know there's some high-profile guys out there like Jack Hibbs and a few others, Rob McCoy, and those are Calvary Chapel type guys.
Right.
Is there anybody in the Baptist Church besides yours truly? You don't have to mention me because obviously people know me on the radio anyway. But is there anybody in the Baptist Church that's got a set between their legs?
I only know one pastor besides yourself that's an independent Baptist that is doing the job, and that's Mike Rogers up in North Highland, California, which is a suburb of Sacramento.
Ironically, Mike and I spoke this morning, so that's a great plug for Mike up in North Highlands.
he has told us about some other folks that he knows that we don't know them, and so he has some other contacts besides. But they're not many.
And isn't that sad that we have pastors that are just not informing their congregations because the federal government is dangling the Johnson Act in front of them, and they're, of course, it's so funny. I know that this came from President Johnson, but they are, if you will, they're scared to death about the potential of getting their 501c3 status stripped from them, when in reality, they should stop hiding behind their 501c3 status and just basically say, you know what, who cares about that? We'll just have a tax ID number and we'll just preach the gospel anyway. We don't need a 501c3 status. Do you think really the 501c3 status has actually hampered the local church instead of helped it?
Well, I think if you look at it that way, I think it's been a hindrance to the pastor, frankly.
Because there's strings attached.
Because there are strings attached. I mean, In Pursuit Ministries is a 501c3, but if I lose my 501c3 because I've said something to a pastor or to a police officer, so be it. Because truth is, it's not my truth, it's God's truth.
Yeah. It's just like I said during my rant during the first part of the program here is that, if a conservative gets voted out of office based upon principle, because he or she stood on principle, I think they can pillow their heads at night comfortably and not have to worry about life. The same thing with a pastor. If they, get kicked out of their church and voted out of their church because they stood on principle, God's word, the truth, then they can pillow their heads at night. But unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of pastors that are capitulating, a whole bunch of politicians that are capitulating, and I'm having a really tough time trying to draw a distinction between some of our politicians and some of our pastors. What say you?
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you know anything about it, but while I was a student at Bob Jones, the university lost their 501c3 status.
I remember.
And it turned out to be a blessing, not a curse.
Yeah, I completely agree. In fact, I know some Bible colleges that went completely with the 501c3 status, and I think their entire ministries have kind of gone down the drain. Real quickly here, in 30 seconds, can you tell us a little bit about the website, In Pursuit Ministries? Where can people find you?
We're In Pursuit Ministries, CA.com. And you can go on, just put that in your search engine, and it will come up. There's a little bit of a video. The video has us in Pomona uniforms, but still, our message is the same. And there's about 15 pages that you can look at. It's a wealth of information. We also do training. You can find out a little bit about training on our website. So it's quite intense, actually.
Okay.
And if somebody's looking into becoming a chaplain, then that site will give them the information they need.
All right. In Pursuit Ministries of California. I want to say thank you to Bob and Jane Keller for their ministry and for them being in pursuit of those who are in pursuit. And by the way, again, happy belated birthday, Jane, as you had a wonderful romantic date with your husband yesterday. Thank you very much for coming on the program. And we'll be back here on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and AM 1220.
Accidents happen. But rest assured, Patterson's Collision Center is here to help. Patterson's is a family-owned and operated collision repair facility providing the Santa Clarita Valley with premium collision repairs. Patterson's prides itself on being the only California-certified green repair shop in all of Santa Clarita. They are insurance claim specialists and even offer payment plans for your deductible. For personalized, friendly service, visit PattersonsCollisionCenter.com or call 294-1011 and let Patterson's Collision Center help ease your worries today.
Join us for a traditional Thanksgiving feast at Olive Terrace Bar and Grill, featuring free-range roast turkey. Our champagne holiday buffet begins on Thanksgiving Day from noon till 9 p.m. Included in our feast are mashed potatoes, candied yam, giblet stuffing, biscuits, gravy, and wait, there's more! King crab legs, shrimp, oysters, whole poached salmon, prime rib, short ribs, pastas, salads, desserts, champagne, and cappuccinos. Hungry yet? In Valencia on Copper Hill and Newhall Ranch Road by LA Fitness. Olive Terrace Bar and Grill for your Thanksgiving Day.
If you've been thinking of giving your house a facelift but don't know where to start, turn to the experts at Preferred Glass and Windows. You can upgrade your home within a day by replacing your windows, entry door, shower enclosure, or even your patio door. Upgrading doors and windows can help lower your heating and AC costs by up to 35%. Colors, designs, and options are endless, and all installations come with a lifetime guarantee. Preferred Glass and Windows is your one-stop glass shop and so much more. For a free consultation, call 661-255-1170. That's 255-1170.
We are Facey Medical Group, a team of local physicians, including primary care doctors and specialists. We have 4 clinic locations and immediate care in the Santa Clarita Valley. Whether you have a PPO, EPO, or HMO, Facey likely accepts your medical insurance. To schedule an appointment with our primary pediatric or OBGYN physicians, go to Facey.com. That's FACEY.com. Many of our offices have same-day appointments. Facey. Let us care for you today.
It's like no other station I've ever listened to. It's great.
Your hometown station.
All right, we're back here on Politics and the Pulpit. I am your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook, on your hometown station, KHTS AM 1220 and 98.1 FM. We just had a great conversation with Chaplain Bob Keller and his wife, Jane. And again, if you want to look up their ministry, it's called In Pursuit of California. And you can look online there and check out what you need to know about becoming a chaplain, if that's where the Lord would lead you. If I might end our program today with a couple of, let's just say shameless plugs. If you're looking for a Christmas Eve service, Christmas Eve at Freedom's Way Baptist Church will be on Christmas Eve, December 24th at 6:30 p.m. Encourage you to come out to that. And then if your church has canceled Christmas Day services, That'll be a great opportunity for you to probably leave that church in 2023. But anyway, if your church has found themselves canceling Christmas Day services, you can come to Freedom's Way at 10:30 a.m. on December 25th and enjoy a traditional Christmas Day service. Encourage you to come to that. Also, if you have a young kid that needs a good education, where we educate but do not indoctrinate, I'd encourage you to call Lighthouse Christian Academy right there on the campus of Freedom's Way Baptist Church and talk to Christine Aragon, who is our campus individual who will help you with that. So thank you so much for listening today on Politics in the Pulpit. Next week, hopefully we'll have a great topic for you. If anything, it'll be about the Bible. We'll catch you next week on your hometown station.